Hello and welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word, as you might know, is a hand car washing business run by me and my wife here in Church Hill on Highway 11W. We're located in the Palace Shopping Center, and this business exists for the sole purpose of getting these verse-by-verse Bible teachings out. We are adamant about teaching God's Word in a verse-by-verse format. We believe that it is the fullness and the entirety of God's Word that is truly going to equip the saints of God for the service of God that is coming in their lives, or even the persecution that is coming in the near future to this country. You can catch these radio broadcasts on WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. You can catch them at the Wash and Word building by coming into the parking lot and putting on 107.1 FM. You can also go to the washandword.com website, and there you can download and listen to these messages for free. You can also find out any information about the business and more about the ministry by going to washandword.com. Well, we finished up chapter 15 in our last study, and we're going to continue talking about this. And Jesus is talking about why the world hates him, and the fact that they hate Jesus, they're also going to hate us. And we're trying to talk about how we're trying to avoid the persecution of people, and we're trying to avoid it by, even though we're doing things in Christ's name, or we're doing things that Christ would want us to do, we are dropping the ball when it comes to the reason as to why we're doing that. And it's one thing to do a nice thing for a person, or do a nice thing for a nice person, but it's quite another to tell them why you're doing it. Because too often we are helping out the unbeliever, we are helping out the worldling, we are doing things for them, which God would want us to do. We are demonstrating the love of Christ through our actions, sometimes through our words, if we compliment somebody, or if we build them up, or we offer counsel to them. But as we said in our last message, nice things said to nice people doesn't make hell any nicer. And we have to remember that when we do something nice for a person, when we help somebody out, we have to give them the salt, the flavor behind what it is we're doing. And that, of course, is Jesus. He is the salt. He is the flavor. He is the motivation. Because of Jesus is why we are doing these things. And I started to get on a rant in our last message because I have known experiences over the last 6 to 10 years visiting hundreds of churches and seeing firsthand the limited use of the word Jesus, whether it be written form or spoken from the pulpit. We are eliminating the name of Jesus and we are replacing it with other nice deities, names like God or Jehovah or other things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you take Jesus out of the equation, you are taking the one thing that really causes separation in the church and in the world. And friends, this is a good kind of separation. This is the kind of separation that causes people to self-reflect on their lives. Remember what Jesus said in chapter 15, he said that because he came and exposed sin, they hated him. They didn't hate him until he exposed the sin. So there was no need for a savior until he came and said, "You have a need for a savior." And so the moment that people came face to face with their own personal sins, they realized that they either had to do something about their sins or turn away and hate the one who brought it to their attention. And the moment you bring Jesus to their attention, you are creating a division line in their lives. And so we have been conditioned through teachings and through years of a transition in our pulpits to ease away from the offending name of Jesus Christ. And God help you if that is something that you are partaking in today. Listen, if Jesus just came to heal people and he just came to, you know, feed people and do nice things to nice people, well, the world would have loved Jesus, that was the reason behind the things that he did and the things that he said, but we all know that they weren't. Jesus came to call them out. Jesus says to them, "I told them that they were sinners. I told the people that they were bound for separation eternally from God." And I showed them miracles that glorified God and showed them my power. And I told them that if they hate me, that they also hate God. And if they want God, that they have to go through me. And I told them that they have to die to their self. And I told them that they have to deny their flesh. And then I showed them what it means to be a sacrifice. And then I told them, and I did these things so that God could get the glory and that people could see their wretched selves and then decide to do something about it. Jesus said, I told them that the only way to the Father was through me. Listen, friends, today we are the mouth and the hands of Jesus. We should go and say and do good things, yes, of course. But then when they ask why, and when they ask about your Jesus, you had better tell them the full truth. You need to tell them how pathetic you were without Jesus and how pathetic they are without him. We need to tell them that there's nothing that we can do for others that is for our personal gain, but it is all for the glory of God. We should tell them about the greatest miracle ever, that is the propitiation of our sins on the cross at Calvary. And we need to tell them that without Jesus, they are doomed to an eternity separated from God. Listen, I have got to ask, whatever happened to the fire and brimstone preaching that we heard and some of you lived through in the 50s and the 60s and maybe the 70s? Whatever happened to the harsh reality of hell being spoken from our pulpits weekly? I'll tell you what happened. What happened was people don't want to hear that anymore. People don't want to think about that anymore. It's like our national debt. It's real, but nobody wants to think about it. And it's as if there was this great big meeting among the clergy somewhere 30, 40 years ago where they got together and they said, can't we just tell them about the goodness of God? Can't we just tell them that God is love and that we should do unto others as they would want done to themselves? Can't we just tell them that God loves them and that God wants to bless them and God wants to prosper them? Can't we just tell people about Jesus without offending, without causing discomfort, or without bringing conviction? Well, the answer to that question is sure you can. And you know what? They're going to love you for that. They're going to flock to your church when you start leaving out the truth about what it means to be a Christian. Jesus is pulling no punches with his disciples here. If they hated me, they will hate you. But listen, if you want to be that kind of a preacher, if you want to shy away from the parts that they don't want to hear, I'll tell you what, when Judgment Day comes, and just before some of those same people are found guilty and sent from God's presence, God might just have each one of them stand before you. And then, having received a glimpse of heaven that they will never taste, and a glimpse of the hell that awaits them, they may look at you and ask, why? Why didn't you tell me all of the truth? Why were you so vague about this place? Why were you so general when it comes to talking about Jesus? Why didn't you expose my sin and make me feel uncomfortable while I sat there year in and year out? Why didn't you tell me there was more to this than just some little prayer that I can pray and then move on with my normal life? Why didn't you tell me there would be persecution and self-denial? And sadly, there'll be so many preachers and teachers on that day that'll simply say, because you would have been mad at me. You would have hated me. It would have ended our friendship. You would have disowned me as your son or father or brother. Or maybe you would have killed me. Or worse yet, maybe you would have left and taken your tithing along with you. Wah, wah, wah. Listen, man up, Christians. The world should hate you for the same reasons that you love them because of Jesus. Let them hate you. Because you don't want to be standing there on the day of judgment and watch their souls being dragged away to hell. And then Jesus approaches you and asks you the same questions. And then broken and wretched, crying and sorrowful, we beg God for forgiveness. And hopefully your heart is found innocent. And Jesus will say, you are already forgiven because of Calvary, and you are not condemned. But by thy work of tickling the ears, all of your good works have burned up like hay and stubble, and the crown has been lost for which that you could have laid at my feet, says the Lord. Then your glorified body becomes the glorified self, and you remember no more, and you arrive at that throne of grace with one less crown to lay at the Lamb's feet because you didn't want to offend. Now, I say all that in a hypothetical, but what if? Back to what if. Well, that was fun. Let's move on. I'd like to venture on to say this. The age of the seeker-sensitive gospel is over. The blending of the world and the church is coming to an end. Between the music genre and the adoration worship, the age of trying to fit Jesus into the culture instead of conforming culture into Jesus is dying. It is coming to a close, and that dividing line between the world and the church is beginning to widen, and it is becoming further and further away from the compromising world that has infiltrated the churches. No longer does this line run so close together any longer. I often think of this where I used to pastor the church in Stuart, Florida. And there were two highways that ran parallel with each other, I-95 and the Florida Turnpike. And it's at some point in the town near Jupiter, near Stuart, I-95 and the Florida Turnpike, they ran not only parallel, but they were almost like touching. It was almost like a 12-lane highway when the two of them, they were really close together. But then if you continue going on, after about a mile, the roads began to separate a little bit. They were still run parallel, but they would be getting farther. And then about 10 miles up the road, they were several miles apart from each other. And I kind of see that as a metaphor of how the church has been running. Southern Florida, I-95, and the Florida Turnpike were far apart from each other. And as you winded north towards Jupiter, Florida, those two roads got really close together and they ran side by side right next to each other for a couple of miles. And then they began to separate far apart. And I almost see this as a metaphor as the last 50, maybe 60 years of the church, where there was this great separation between the church and the world. And there was a noticeable difference between what you heard in the church and what you heard out in the world. But then came this revolutionary change of the gospel light, the seeker-sensitive message that infiltrated our churches back in the 70s and continued for decades, where the two roads, as it were, ran right next to each other. But I believe that we are starting to see that separation again. And while the church is still conforming to the world, I believe that God is raising up an army of believers who are not allowing that to take place any longer. Listen, the world hates you because of Jesus, and we need to stop trying to change that. Stop trying to meld the two together. Let them hate you. Make them hate you, because if you do not, they may never see their need for Jesus. And that is why Jesus, that is why he said that they hated him, because he showed them their sin. He showed them their need. And Jesus continues in chapter 16, even though it's the last part of 15, he says, "All this I told you so that you will not go astray." There it is. "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time will come when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Then, or they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. And I have told you this so that when the time comes," not if, "when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you." Jesus is preparing his disciples for the final exam. And so too is he doing that for us. Listen, we have to separate the world from the church. And it starts with you and I confronting the world with the name of Jesus, unashamed, unabashed, and unchanged. Friends, I hope this message blesses you. If not, I don't know what else to do. Listen, have a great day. Have a blessed day. And remember, God loves you.